8 o'clock hour here on DFW Sports Station. That means your home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. What did Aiden just say about checking his friend's locations?
Bro, Aiden just said 4 to 5 times a day. But he did say, I'm nosy. But at least he owns up to that.
At least he admits it.
Yeah.
Not your safety. I want to know how you're doing when you're going through the drive-thru. Now you're being nosy as hell.
Yeah, he's you know, bros looking after bros. That's what he's doing. He's trying to make sure that they're safe and that they feel safe.
All right, we have B-Low, the belt, at 8:40. Diamond Cavs at 9 o'clock after Wyatt Langford, maybe with the Rangers play of the year. Nick Eatman from California at 9:20 here on 105.3 The Fan. But let's go around the rest of the National Football League. I guess we have to start with the Cleveland Browns unveiling.
Okay, so...
of the uniforms?
The helmet.
The helmet thing, and then the photographer falls into the lake.
Yeah.
Okay, so what... obviously, everything got taken away from the helmet. What was different about the helmet? Was it like just a browner
version? No, it's like black.
Oh, it didn't look black to me. It looked like it was like kind of goldish. I don't know.
That was the one they were revealing yesterday.
Oh, no. I saw the blow up. Yeah, the blow up didn't look.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a darker gray.
It looks like the 1930s Bears uniforms they wear sometimes. It looks like that helmet kind
of. But one of the photographers just fell right into the water.
That's peak.
And Browns. Matthew Stafford just walked off.
That's well done.
That's what people are saying. Even Cleveland can't unveil a uniform or a helmet correctly. Meanwhile, we have someone who may not be a football expert. I wonder if Jake Rietma knows Representative Alyssa Slotkin, the Michigan senator, trying to get, what do they call it, Michiganders?
Michiganders.
Michiganders, trying to get the Michiganders hype.
But by charting a strategy from beginning to end on how we get through this moment, and we will. For God's sakes, people, the Detroit Lions are going to win the national championship and the Super Bowl, and they were in the toilet for years.
Yeah, they are going to win the national championship. That's true. I you know what? I do think that if they played in the NCAA, they would win the national championship.
Is this worse than the dome, the female dome question? Right? Was that someone asking? Was it Todd Bowles?
Yeah, the like practice in the dome or whatever. This is. I don't know. This one is like, I mean, she's like,
the dome is worse.
Politicians
right?
always make these analogies and like, we'll try to like force it. And it's always so cringy.
This or Patrick Dumont calling it.
Patrick Dumont is so much worse. Patrick Dumont is so much worse than this.
Doing what?
When he called, we were in the championship games last year, talking about the NBA finals. That's
Fortune
worse.
Favors the bold.
Yeah. Shut up, Nico. So that was worse than this one. But this is just typical politician cringe of like, hey, try to work in something for the home team. And right. like. It's just cringy.
If politicians, I wish they would just leave sports out of it. They always try to make it sports analogies. They always sound dumb. Just stop.
I remember Amy Klobuchar, when they were doing Elena Kagan's confirmation hearing for Supreme Court years ago, she like started trying to go like, so I wanted to ask your legal opinion on, you know, if you're team Jacob or team whatever, like some Twilight question.
Is this Edward or Jacob?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was just like, oh, gosh, this is cringy. What are you even doing? Stop it right now.
It's team Edward.
Forget about Dax pick six, the Marshawn lead, and don't worry about that. Jackson Dart started his New York Giant career in 11-on-11s with a pick six. So that went viral yesterday as the Giants also on day one named Danger. Russ. Their starter.
Man. Unlimited.
They are the gift that keeps on giving. They are. They are going to continue this charade of just trotting out bad quarterbacks when, and listen, we don't know if Jackson Dart's bad quarterback or not.
Sounds like he is.
He might be awful. He might be the worst quarterback in the draft. We don't know. He might be the best. And that's the whole point. And that's why, you know, Russell Wilson, I'm sure, has a higher floor than Jackson Dart does right now. But he's also got a much lower ceiling. And the only thing that you really care about when the quarterback is the ceiling. Let's go for the high ceiling. And the quarterback stinks, we'll just draft another one the next year. But these guys, and this is what happens when you let the head coach make these decisions. The head coach tries to save his job. Russell Wilson has a better chance of saving his job right now.
Yep.
This is where the owner needs to step in and go, no. Hey, not your call. My call. I own the team. I'll even give you I'll even let you coach hang around another year if you start this guy.
See, the only problem is Jackson Dart's awful. And so, like, we know he's terrible, and that is just not a great move to go. I still don't understand how, like, he went as high as he did. But, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he'll be awesome, and he'll prove me wrong or whatever. But, like, I mean, that's a guy who consistently in big games in college just never played well and didn't look particularly impressive
in terms of the most ready NFL to play today. Where is Dart on this list from the recent class?
Shuck, probably. I would think. It depends. Because I mean, Cam Ward has got a lot of talent and has like elevated above areas where people thought he was ready. But to me, Shuck is the one who he better be ready. He's like 28 years old. So yeah. I mean, the amount of football that he's played, and he makes the most pro ready throw. So I'd say probably Shuck.
And how far down the list would Dart be? Like more ready or less ready?
Yeah. So in terms of like ready to step in and just get you by, he's one of the more ready quarterbacks in the class. It's just he's not good enough is just the thing. And so it's kind of hard to blur the lines of are you even good enough?
Meanwhile, Cam Ward is not making Bobby happy in Tennessee.
And look, maybe I'm being too nitpicky here. And you guys tell me if I am.
You never.
But I do feel like this is a little douchey, this reply. So he was talking to media yesterday, and he was asked, hey, you got any thoughts on Will Levis now that he's out for the year after he got shoulder surgery?
News that Levis had decided to have surgery and he's kind of subtracted from the quarterback room now.
I really didn't have a reaction. I focused on Cam Ward. He made what was best for him. You can't be mad at somebody for doing what's best for him. So I wish him a speedy recovery. I'm hoping to see him in the building a lot more. He's helped me in OTAs, just learning the install of everything. He's a good football player. You know, when he's ready, when he's healthy, you know, he'll have his chance at the field.
First time hearing it, Bobby, 1,000,000,000% wrong. Well,
No, it's bad either way, and I'm going to tell you why. Jeez. First, it's either bad because he's just like, nah, I'm all focused on me, bruh. I'm focused on Cam Ward. That's what I'm doing. There's that. Or it could be the other one, which is, no, he interpreted the question to mean, any thoughts on how this impacts your role? So he had to say, well, look, I'm just focused on me. People got to make their best decisions, whatever else. Which if he took it that way, he's a complete idiot. And so you either have to decide, do I want an egomaniacal, like, jerk, or do I want a moron at quarterback? That seems to be your choice here.
This was
egomaniacal jerk.
Now I'm against your wife right now for calling me Buddy the Cake Boss, but this type of overthinking makes me sympathize with her in your day-to-day life on what you must do in picking apart arguments and fights. After Cam was really complimentary and sounded pretty sympathetic towards Levis, but that's Bobby's brain at work.
Why don't you go get some fondant then, Sean? Some fondant or whatever he cooks with.
Fondue?
No, the cake stuff.
Fondant?
It's a cake boss joke.
Isn't it fondant?
No. That's not how Buddy says it.
Buddy can barely speak English.
He's from Jersey, I agree.
He's that Jersey accent.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the attempt because I don't know what it is. Fondant?
I thought you're Mr. Cooking. You're supposed to know what it is.
Baking isn't cooking.
Who's baking for, Sean?
Women. 877-881-1053. You thought I was going to be scared. To walk into
all
that.
All right. Can I? All right.
No, it's over. You don't
lost. Since I lost that, can I play my 201?
Okay.
And see if I'm right about that.
All right.
Did Tua basically LeBron himself yesterday when he was talking to the media about his new routine of reading books before bed?
I'm reading a book right now. So that's kind of like my process with before I go to bed. Kind of helps like with the dreaming aspect of it. You know, you kind of go to bed, you kind of think about it, think a little more about it. Sometimes you get aha moments, you know, as you're sleeping, you wake up and something hits you in that sense. But I would say that's what I do in terms of motivation. And then, you know, you can take little snippets of what certain people say or little quotes in the book, you know, copy paste it, print it, put it on your locker, things of that nature to always remind you and get you back in the right frame of mind.
Do you know what you're reading?
I don't know what I'm reading. Funny. I don't know what I'm reading right now, but yeah.
He's not reading anything, right?
All right. You can read.
He's reading a motivational book. He doesn't know the name of it.
I'm reading a book right now.
That's what I was trying to think. Yeah. Okay, for you readers, for you book readers, mom, my mother, number one seed, you can text. How often, right now, the book you're reading, can everyone recite the title of the book? I don't know. I don't read books.
I don't read. I would assume if it was like novel, like a romance, that you get the book, right? But if it's like a motivational book.
Okay.
Which, first of all, your go-to, just say the Bible. If you're not reading a book, just say the Bible. Just say that. It's an easy
funny.
One. Oh, we kept you lying about the Bible. We might ask you a verse.
Listen, him saying funny, haha. Play that again, Peyton, real quick. That clip.
Funny.
that almost feels like, busted. Like,
that's weird.
This is.
But he seems like too genuine of a dude. He's like Russ Jr.
So I was reading different theories about it.
Well, I don't know if Russ is genuine, but cheesy.
Russ is doing high knees down the plane aisle like you're walking around with Ava, basically.
Eyes here. What hat are you wearing?
I'm wearing the LA hat, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I grabbed one walking out this morning. But here's the thing. If I didn't know the book and I felt on the spot like that, I would immediately start giving details about the book to save myself. Like, I can't remember the title. It's a leadership book. They talk a lot about this or that. Yeah. Somebody suggested they thought he was probably reading a book he didn't want to tell them he was reading. Or they said, they cut this clip off, and they're like, what you didn't know, he said, who are all you people? And then Dolphins staff rushed him off because it was another
concussion. Maybe it's like how to be a good dad, but he was just done talking about Tyreek, so he didn't want to go there.
how to deal with difficult people.
Is funny the name of the book.
But I want to know from those of you right now reading a book, can is there anyone who you're like, I can't remember the actual title? Pepe or... Any total saying that?
903 is asking, isn't the title usually at the top page of every book? Like the top left of every page? I don't think everyone is, but then you have the 817-214 says, well, he has CTE, so give him a break.
210 currently reading.
Jeez, guys.
210 currently reading Firestarter and Three Hearts and Three Lions.
Firestarter, the Stephen King one?
I don't know. That's what it says. 856, I read at night. Hell nah. 302 is funny, the name of the book. And then see, this is the thing that I would think every time you pick up the book, you would at least, like, it's just going to become kind of like unconscious. You would know the name of it.
Yeah, yeah, you again, would think.
Unless it's like, you know, how to a motivational speaking book on how to motivate a team of 33 people.
Man, so yeah, that's it. I do like the theory that he's reading something, like somebody suggests on there, he's reading something that's about dealing with a difficult person, and he doesn't want to make it sound like, oh yeah, I'm reading this book that's about dealing with somebody like Tyreek.
Really sad I wasn't able to get to Choppy defending O.J. Simpson again on the show, but we're going to do it at some point in time here on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. All women hate golf. And now 20 men hate golf as well. Choppy explains, followed by B-Lo, the belt, on 105.3 The Fan.
Swinging from the left side. The 0-1 pitch is popped up. High into the air, very shallow left field. Wilson, the shortstop, calling for it. And the ball drops! Soderstrom called him off! Rounding third is Langford. Here's the throw home. He dives! He's safe! Are you kidding me on that play? The A's had the inning wrapped up. Wilson was there, but Soderstrom called him off, so Wilson took his arm away from making the catch, and the Rangers lead it 2-1. That just happened.
Matt Hicks with the fantastic call on your home of the Rangers here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. What were the other Ranger candidates that the Tolos texted in for Ranger play of the year?
The one that kept coming up was the Adolis Garcia walk-off against the Dodgers, where they were down 3-2 and he hit the two-run homer.
Okay, but that's not a play. Like, that's a...
I mean, he hit the home run. Like, that was that moment.
I'm talking about, like, an incredible play. Like, that's a home run.
Oh, so, nothing else was being suggested as, like, a high... Nothing else was being suggested like a Sports Center top 10. There was nothing like that.
Right. I guess that you could say moment. Although, this could... I mean, I would probably put this...
Right.
I mean, it's just so rare,
you never
right?
see it. By the way...
For him to run that hard, like... I think you said it 99 out of 100 times.
That's a hit. I mean, sorry, that's an out.
Yeah.
It's an out.
It wasn't even close to a bloop.
No, and I mean, so obviously ESPN, they're doing the scroll at the bottom. They do the score. And they're being factual, but it's the most misleading comment about a game I've ever seen. It says Rangers 2, A's 1, Heim go ahead two run go ahead double.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that's not. I mean, yes, technically. Yeah.
Well, Mike immediately asked Raymond. He's like, "How are they scoring that?
Yeah,
that that should not be scored as a double. Did it fall in, or did someone touch it?
It was a double because no one touched it. They let it go.
Right. And look, baseball's been pretty consistent that mental errors they do not put down as errors. And when you fail to communicate, that's on the mental error side.
Somebody did text in, and I had to look it up. I didn't remember it. Do you remember a couple weeks back Evan Carter's catch against Houston?
Oh, yeah.
That was so the sliding, diving catch in the first was one suggestion.
Hellman had a fantastic catch. He helps out John Gray, who returns and gets the win from the 60-day IL. The hair just flowing out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Luke Jackson, DFA'd, bye-bye.
Yeah, and this is he's been pretty bad his last several outings. He's given up 5 runs in his last 6 innings. But prior to that, he wasn't all that bad. And since May 4th, his ERA is right around 3. So that's not terrible, but, you know, some of the other peripherals were not very good, walking too many guys. So I guess it wasn't a stunner to see him go. But can we please get Sandler a chair and have all these guys sitting in a chair? ESPN did the same crap at the All-Star game. Poor Kirkjian over there on the right side, not even looking the same species as Mizorowski or whatever his name is, and Eduardo Perez. Like,
this was with Jared, with John Gray?
Jared and John Gray. Like, it's cool, like, guys. They had to do a wide shot because John Gray's like, you know, like compared, Sandler's like not that much shorter than we are. But, I mean, John Gray's huge.
Yep.
Get the guy, get him a chair. Get them both a chair. His nipples are barely above the table.
Do you know
put him on the mound.
That's
and Gray on the side.
Maybe that's a...
on the mound.
That might be a producer project. So that's actually, I know somebody on the little producer crew at NFL Network, whenever it's Ian or Pellicer or one of the others, they always got to make sure, like, if we have shorter people here, like, let's make sure we have little boxes they can step on if we're doing stand-up shots.
No, that's emasculating. Because
they want everybody to be equal.
That happened to me. That happened to me once. We were doing this at Cooperstown when we did the... So all these kids are like, they're 12, but we had to do pictures. We were behind them. And I was like a full head higher, but the way the lighting was coming in, it was like it was blocking out my face. So they gave me like a little thing to stand on. And the kids called me step stool for the rest of the weekend.
That's good.
And I'm like, I'll bop y'all's head together, okay? I mean, it takes 3 years to weigh one of me.
I got the updated odds from Bet Online. From the moment that the odds opened up in Vegas, the Yankees were the favorites to win the AL East. No more.
Wow.
Toronto is now the favorite after their 14-4 July record. The Tigers passed the Yankees about a month ago as the favorites to represent the American League. That was before the Rangers and everyone else got done with them. Give me the AL West predictions to win the division right now today.
The order of the division. Houston, Seattle, Texas, Angels, Athletics.
Bingo. The Astros are -350, 2-7 odds. Seattle's 3-1. If you think the Rangers, who are a game and a half back in the wild card, 7.5 back in the West, you think the Rangers are going to win the West, 12-1 odds for you. Angels 66-1, and then you have the Athletics.
By the way, Toronto is the biggest fraud in the sport.
More than Detroit?
Yes.
Okay.
Toronto is 60-42, right? So best record. High with Houston in the American League. Toronto, so 18 games over .500. Their run differential is +32. The Yankees' run differential is +106. The Red Sox run differential is +54. Tampa and the Rangers are both 3 games over .500. Their run differential is double Toronto's. Toronto's three and out. 3 and out in the postseason.
There's the call.
Yeah, I mean, it's fraudulent. I don't know that it's more fraudulent than the Guardians being a game above .500 being -34.
That's fair.
That's pretty bad.
Well, of the first play, of the playoff team.
It is nuts, though, that as I was looking through the standings and stuff, Texas is, they're behind Seattle in the division. Like just the betting odds or whatever else, and they're just a game behind them in the division. Seattle's allowed 100 runs more than Texas this year, which is just like, Does Vegas not look at that as more sustainable, what Texas is doing?
There are two teams in the American League that have allowed, three teams that have allowed less than 400 runs, and the Rangers.
And the Rangers have done 354. They're way off of 400.
Rangers off today. They host the Braves starting tomorrow, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch right here on your home for Rangers baseball. Why do guys hate golf?
Well, guys hate golf for a couple of reasons. One, when you get people to have hole-in-ones on their first round of playing, which, I mean, that happens.
I can't help it.
But let's go to Thailand. At least 9, upwards of 20 Buddhist monks have been disrobed.
I love that term.
Yes, disrobed.
Disrobed.
Yes, after sleeping with an alleged blackmail seductress.
Oh, they got disrobed twice.
Who extorted them for millions of pounds. So dollars, pounds, whatever. She has enticed a string of monks to break their vow of celibacy before pressuring them into paying large sums of money to cover up their intimacy. She goes by the name Golf. Every woman hates golf because the men leave the house for hours on end to go play golf and disappear and wear hats like I'm wearing that say, I love cart girls. And now, 20 Buddhist monks now hate golf as well.
This is
I don't know if I like that one.
This is brilliant. I would watch a Netflix on this. She decided, let me go ahead and let me expose them. Let me seduce them. Let me trick them. And then I'll blackmail them. You know, and then, now, how are they making money?
Honestly, I have no idea. I don't know how they make money. If it's
millions, she got millions. I'm like, what's their revenue stream?
Yeah, now millions.
Someone get Wembanyama on the phone.
Millions of their currency. So whatever that equates to, right?
Yeah, but still.
But so this whole investigation started last month after an abbot of a famous temple in Bangkok left the monkhood, and she seduced him before telling him she was pregnant and asking for child support.
And do these monks not talk when they're gathering around?
They can't.
Vow silence.
That's even more freaking brilliant.
They can't even talk to each other to find out, hey, are you getting scammed? Are you getting scammed?
That's right.
I mean, this is the perfect crime.
Yeah.
She's brilliant.
Yeah.
Was that, Peyton, when you were hosting that half hour and you were talking about getting scammed, was that by a monk?
No, she was real.
I think he was real.
Wow. So she and now she's been arrested.
Yeah, she's been arrested now. So she was. This is like she.
Do you think blackmail should be illegal?
Yes.
Yeah. She netted. She netted 18.5 million AUD. Whatever is that Australian dollars? Yeah. In 3 years, and apart from a luxury home and cars as well. Wow.
All right, I have to get to this story, because I was dying to talk about it and around the NFL. The NFLPA former boss, Lloyd Howe. I was going to talk about his strip club visits, but now we have an O.J. Simpson parking space. So, Bobby, just give the quick summary and recap on all this mess.
Okay, so essentially what's happened is that the NFLPA is in a really turbulent time right now. So recently we've had Pablo Torre expose rulings that were made by an arbitrator that said the NFL did tell their owners, hey, don't guarantee contracts for older veterans. They were basically colluding together. They didn't meet all of the definitions, so ultimately they didn't win the case. But that aspect of it had come out. They ended up hiding this from the players, like in the league, and players were furious about this. They had no idea that the NFL had told this, because the NFLPA agreed to bury it with the league. And then that also just kicked off a number of other issues with J.C. Tretter, Lloyd Howe, issues of drinking, strip clubs, so just basically partying it up.
Lloyd Howe charged the union for 2 visits to strip clubs, including a $738 car service that took him from the airport to one of the clubs. One receipt obtained by ESPN shows he was picked up in a sedan by a car service at Fort Lauderdale Airport at 10:26 p.m. The first stop was at a nearby Miami Gardens address. The receipt shows only one other stop nearly 8 hours later.
Oh, man.
At 6 a.m., they dropped him off at his luxury condominium. Well, they went online and searched for the Miami Gardens address. Turns out, it was Tootsie's Cabaret.
Hey, Tootsie.
76,000 square foot venue bills itself as the world's largest strip club full nude, number one rated. I can't believe ESPN put that in
there. All the overnight dancers.
76,000. That's a sporting goods store. That's how big a sporting goods store is.
So this idiot decided to charge it, like tried to expense it. More than a year later, Hal and two union employees visited a strip club in Atlanta. Where do you think they went?
Magic City.
Exactly. $2,426 in charges.
Holy cow.
Including cash withdrawals ranging from $200 to $525 from a club ATM. They used two VIP rooms. The purpose of the... what do you put on the expense report? Player engagement event to support and grow our union.
I could see that.
I like that.
Yeah, so, player engagement.
There it is. And now we have... the parking spot.
So he had the parking, the facilities department merge two spaces in the parking garage to avoid door dings on his Porsche Cayenne.
Gosh. So okay. He goes and requests, hey, get rid of one of these middle lines so no one comes close to my Porsche. Right.
And these parking spaces are numbered. So he took spots 10 and 11. But he said, so take the middle lane up, middle line up, right? So it's 10 and 11. We're going to get rid of that middle line. I'm going to have two spots. And we're going to change the parking spot number to 32. An homage of O.J. Simpson.
The NFLPA head. The Players Association head.
According to the longtime director of security.
What?
So, according to the longtime director of security.
So he took out two spots and named it after OJ.
Who took out? Wow. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. He goes, I don't know why OJ. Everyone has their preferences, perhaps. And this is where I was like, hey, listen, who you were a fan of as a kid, say he's a fan of OJ's kid. I mean, that's okay. It's memories, man. You know, it's like, if Peyton Manning committed some heinous crime. I'd still be a Peyton Manning. You can't take the memories away.
All of the drinking that's been alleged with all this partying and debauchery too. Do you know the law firm he worked for before the NFL?
No.
Booz Allen Hamilton.
No.
So he was working for Booz for years anyway.
This is amazing.
To be so stupid.
This is amazing.
To dedicate your parking spot to OJ as the head of the NFLPA. I got to get this guy to take an IQ test. I got to see it. I got to see a live IQ test with this moron and the other idiots who voted him in.
It does make me wonder, and I put this in my email a little bit, but it does make me wonder that with all this stuff going on at the PA, where it's clear the PA did not have their best interests at heart, like the leadership there, it does make me wonder if that's some of the resistance we're seeing from guys like Micah and Hendrickson right now. Like the distrust of just like, we're not even trusting owners right now.
A few former first round picks, a couple of guys still learning new positions, and a veteran defensive back who has spent his whole career with Dallas. What are you laughing at?
On the 204, it's a parking spot to die for.
The 2025
guys are bad.
The 2025 Cowboy breakout candidates. Bobby has them next. And below the belt, 105 through the fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
It is Israel Mukwamu season, boys. Just you wait. Let's talk about it here in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. We will be in Oxnard, California on Monday. We'll actually be there Sunday. But the station is out there right now. KNC Masterpiece is out there stealing all of RJ Choppy's favorite interviews. Brian Broaddus is out there the entire time. He'll be joining us in this same segment tomorrow to recap practice, take a look at different things. Nick Eatman coming up at 9:20. So Bucky Brooks had a list out on NFL.com. That was the 2025 all breakout team. So he was looking at just different players that he thinks are good bets to break out this season. So 11 on offense, 11 on defense. No Cowboys on the list. Some names that might interest Cowboys fans because it's like, oh, Tyrone Tracy, the Giants running back. Or, oh, there's somebody from the Eagles over here. A guy like this that they targeted. But no Cowboys ultimately made the list. And I wasn't thinking that they deserve to. I wasn't thinking there was anybody that's a big breakout candidate for the Cowboys that makes a lot of sense that would resonate on there. But it did make me start thinking about who could fit. Who on within the context of the Cowboys is somebody that could be a breakout candidate. So I'm going to go over some of those names here and just then kind of get some feedback from you guys on the idea of how important or how critical it would be for the success of the team if this player clicked. And so the number one on this list that I think is a strong possibility for a breakout. Not just a candidate because they haven't yet, but a strong possibility for this is Tyler Guyton. I really do think you're hearing a lot of positive things about Guyton in terms of his work ethic this offseason, a lot of positive things about how he's changed his diet, how he's focused on muscle mass, the different things that he's studied. He's apparently gotten in Tyron Smith's ear a little bit.
Uh-oh.
What?
Someone just got carted to the locker room with a lower leg injury.
With Dallas?
NFC East.
Oh, NFC East.
No, they don't practice right now.
ESPN. That's what I was saying.
6:45 in the morning.
That's what I was saying.
I'm sorry, AFC East.
AFC East.
New quarterback.
Oh, Justin Fields?
Oh, jeez.
Justin Fields carted to locker room. Now, look, yesterday Pickens went down, and people thought his season was done. It was just a cramp. Who knows? But that is the breaking news out of New York right now. Who's their backup?
Who is it?
Because they were just giving the job to him.
Yeah.
It was because it wasn't another veteran. It's Tyrod Taylor.
Okay.
So
Tyrod is serviceable.
Sure. But I mean, it's not like I'm.
That's not what they were looking for.
By the way, Tyler Smith was apparently spending a good amount of instruction time with Tyler Booker after practice. So there you go with Tyler doing their things after practice.
By the way, after we run through a little bit of these players who could break out, we are going to have discussion about the disgusting alternate uniforms that the Packers just unveiled. So Tyler Guyton, to me, is the one that I think not only has an opportunity to break out just because of where he was last year, but the encouraging signs that we've seen this year during the offseason program.
You see what the Packers unveil with revenue sharing?
No.
Showing 480-something million?
$432 million in revenue sharing. $432. That's what they got a year after national revenue topped $400 million per team. So go and add that all up together. The league shared more than $13 billion in revenue from the previous fiscal year. $13 billion.
Well, it looks like they spent $4.32 on these uniforms that they have. They are disgusting, and you'll see why here in a sec. Guyton, to me, is the one, though, that I think he's going to have a good year. I don't think he's going to be Pro Bowl level, but I do think we're like building towards a trajectory where he has a lot of success, and ultimately I think by contract's end, he's going to be a Pro Bowl level player. And obviously, if there's one player you could pick to say they click and they break out, it would be Guyton, wouldn't it?
Of the whole team?
Of breakout guys. Not that they have a great season, but of a guy who didn't perform necessarily great last year, like an ability to just kind of step up. Guyton makes the most sense,
yes.
I would think.
Yes, he does.
The other one on this list that I have is one of his offensive linemates, and that's Cooper Beebe. And Cooper Beebe didn't struggle to the extent that Tyler Guyton did. I also don't think the ceiling's there that it is with Guyton, but that's somebody who they feel like second year working under, you know, working as the center, getting those snaps, not having to snap the ball to his mom during offseason work, and that was all the stuff he had got. Cooper Beebe's one who I think you're getting a really stable presence there, and there's a lot of people who think that he's going to kind of grow into this role of just like kind of the heart and soul positive center, literally, of that offensive line. And I think he's going to have a good year. Next on this list, let's talk about two veteran players they acquired on the defensive side of the ball. First one is Kaiir Elam. Now, this is not necessarily that they're going to break out. This is just, I think if there were odds to put on them, he would be one of the guys that would be worth watching, because all of the feedback you got from Buffalo was that this is not a work ethic problem. He works really hard. He's clearly got all the athletic ability in the world. He's shown up in these, you know, training camps, different things like that. So really,
picked off Dak yesterday.
Yeah, this is kind of going to be the answer of just, did you need a change of scenery? That's really the only thing left. If you already are a hard study, you're a really good student, you're super athletic, and then the change of scenery doesn't click anything into place, you're probably just, you don't have the instincts to play the game, is probably what it is. So this is kind of going to be a make or break thing where, and so far the returns have been positive, but I think Kaiir Elam is going to be a guy who is likely starting week one because of just some of their corner depth problems right now, and will have an opportunity to break out. The other one on this list is Peyton Turner. And Peyton Turner was a guy who, when you watch the film, he didn't play bad in New Orleans. He was hurt all the time. So really, the question with him is just going to be, can he stay healthy? If he can maintain his health, if he can keep that up, then he's somebody who can contribute big time, especially in the run game. He's got some pass rush tools, but really where I think he can be really good is in the run game, as long as he stays healthy, doesn't have any of the injury issues that really plagued him in a bad way while he was in New Orleans. But, I mean, that's somebody, like, if we were to get Peyton Turner in Oxnard, I think he'd be high on the list of y'all's favorite interviews that we do, because he's super, super smart, super engaging. It's been a bummer. I knew him leading up to the draft process because he'd gone to Houston. And it was just it's been a bummer that he hasn't been able to reach where he wanted to be.
What happened?
Something happened in my head. Like, it was super loud.
Your knee hit the headphone volume?
I think it was the armrest of the chair hit the headphone volume. Oh. And it got super loud. And it just scared the hell out of me. I thought I had died.
Holland did that to me one time. He was standing over here and he thought he had bumped mine. And he was like, he was telling me, do you need me to turn up? And I was like, just like, no, I'm fine. But he took that to mean like, yeah, go ahead. And he cranked it up, and my ears were ringing for like 3 hours.
Aiden, get that slow-mo on replay. By the way, Ryan is watching in Texas.
Yeah, he is. He was doing that yesterday, too.
Great. Ryan Couture?
Couture.
By the way, they're saying that Fields got carted and then limped off under his own power. So
Ball pierce.
Take that for whatever it's
worth.
Stop
it. So the last one on this list of breakout players for the Cowboys or best breakout candidates, Israel Mukwamu. Israel Mukwamu just has not gotten a lot of opportunity here, but that's somebody who in practices over the years has played good football. He stuck to CeeDee Lamb a couple training camp practices a few years ago when he was asked to play some corner. He can play outside corner. He's done some nickel before. He's done some of that in these practices. He's somebody who plays safety, and that versatility kind of just to do anything in the secondary is something Matt Eberflus loves and something that he typically finds a real use and purpose for. So if this was the same coaching staff, I might not have Mukwamu on this list, but the fact that it is the new staff and it's one that really values that kind of skill set, I think Mukwamu is going to get a lot more playing time this year and is going to be somebody that ultimately will do a lot with it. In fact, if you're going to tell me who I think of these five, or ask me who of these five I think is most capable of breaking out, I think it's Mukwamu.
Wow.
Because that's somebody who I don't think he's played
more
poorly.
More capable than Guyton?
Just because Guyton's still got a learning curve. I think Guyton's got more talent. I don't think there's anything necessarily holding Mukwamu back other than just being out there. That would be the only thing. All right. The Green Bay Packers have unveiled their throwback uniforms, which they're always ugly. I get it. Whatever.
When they started, they didn't even have like the ability to make colors.
So I need to know if you guys think this is... there's going to be one or two responses. You guys are going to think this is the coolest helmet in sports, or you're going to think it is the absolute worst. They have decided to pay homage to their leatherhead roots, and they have spray painted it to look like it's a leather helmet.
Oh, I like that.
No.
Yeah.
You didn't want to send it to Aiden for the fan cam?
Because it just popped up in the middle of it. I didn't have time.
Oh. I don't know yet. I'm seeing it. There's a lot of lighting that's throwing me off right now. It's either the light on the helmet or the light in the studio.
It's weird, it's though, disgusting. Right? It's this, like, it's just weird to me, like, spray paint cool a 3D able, image.
It'll be cool if they're able to replicate it.
I think, didn't a college
and
team
for them
do this?
Too?
Yeah, didn't a college team do this? Like, was it Navy or Army or Notre Dame? Somebody did a leather helmet fake recently. I thought it was pretty cool.
I don't remember if anybody had done that. Like, that just looks tacky to me.
Aiden, what do you think? You're the Packer fan. Thumbs up, thumbs down? It's really dark in there. I can't see.
Double thumbs up.
Double
thumbs up. He checks his friend's location 5 times a day. I wouldn't trust his thoughts on much of anything. That's just me. All right, really quickly as we wrap up here, we played this earlier in the show back in the 6 o'clock hour, but I still think it was valuable to hear because I thought yesterday CeeDee Lamb gave the best answer about George Pickens that anybody has yet. Pickens and Lamb both had big days of practice yesterday, but Lamb specifically during training camp, a lot of the guys, they would get asked, hey, what do you think about George Pickens? They'd be like, oh, I think he's great, or oh, he does this or that. This was the first really in-depth discussion of who Pickens is as a person and where they feel like somebody's gone so wrong. So this is CeeDee Lamb talking about where everybody's missed on George Pickens.
He has all the intangibles. He's a great receiver. He's a great person. He's everything that the people say he isn't, and I feel like he don't get enough credit for being who he is. But you never know the type of situation that people are going through. So just being so quick to put a narrative on something that you don't really fully explain, like understand yet, I feel like just kind of jumping a gun. But That's for GP, man. He's a hard worker. He wants to be great. He's wanting to learn. And I love that the most about him because I'm the same way. Like, if there's anything that you see in my game that I feel like I need to work on, let me know. And I'll think about it. I'll have it in the back of my head. And as I'm watching this film and we go over it together, I have that in my mind. And he's the same way. He's not as crazy as he seems to be, literally. Like, I seen what y'all seen on film. Like, I trust me. I know what it looks like. But if you talk to this man and have a decent conversation, I guarantee you'll understand that this man is kind of harder. When we get on the field, it's a different beast. I expect him to be an animal, but like when we have an on and off button, everybody on this field does. On any field, honestly, man, when you're passionate about something, you don't really care what the narrative is around you. Like, you know how much effort you've given into this game, and we do this, we've done it our whole lives. This is all we know. So like when you're upset, it's probably for a reason.
I think it's a really powerful way to state it, to say he's everything people say he isn't.
They're putting a lot, like, they're vouching for him. Dak and Lem are vouching for him a lot really early. You know, yeah. My wife would accuse me of this. She's like, you're naive. You just believe in that this person is, I mean, you guys, you know, tried to question me liking Reetma. And I was like, no, I think he's, you know, my early intuition's good.
Yeah, loud. A little loud.
Good kid.
Were you right?
Yeah, I think I was. I like it personally. Out. He needs to tone it down a little bit on the air for Dallas
Cowboys.
Yeah. Below the belt, right here, and same for Bobby. You know,
yes, Bobby is a bad guy though. No, I'm kidding.
I'm a bad guy. I'm super talented though. Really
super
smart,
talented. I would. Humble. He's gonna end a career. Or
yeah,
two.
Super including humble, like you say.
Below the golfer. Belt every day on the home of the Cowboys here on DFW Sports Station. Nick Eatman from Oxnard at 9:20. But Rangers hitting coach Brett Boone is going to love RJ Choppy's Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers next.